Hey everybody, it's J-Mac. I'm excited to bring you another cool interview here on my show. This one is with Claudia Behring. You might know her on Instagram as Claudia.Behring, Claudia dot Behring. I was introduced to Claudia a couple months ago through a past guest, Libby Dykes. She's Iron Tika on Instagram. And Claudia is Libby's coach, who coached Libby to her first Ironman finish 2 weeks ago at Ironman Colorado, Ironman Boulder. So Libby introduced me to Claudia as a cool coach. Checked out her website. Her coaching is C-Bar Performance, which, by the way, you have to listen to this podcast to find out what C-Bar stands for. So then I dig deeper and I see all these pictures of Claudia doing a lot of virtual rides on Zwift. And well, before I get into that, her pedigree is pretty amazing. She's 3-time Ironman 70.3 Worlds qualifier, 3-time Boston qualifier, 5-time Ironman finisher, 2015 Age Group National Championship, USAT Long Course, 2016 Team USA World Championship. She's got crazy fast Ironman PR of 10:50, crazy fast 70.3 of 4:42, just all these crazy accolades. And she just learned how to swim in 2012. So that's what I thought she was all about until I go on her Instagram and seeing all these indoor rides that she's doing on Zwift. So dig in further, and Claudia just became the Zwift national champion this past year, which allowed her to qualify for the CVR World Cup, which is coming up this weekend in Vancouver. And you could follow that on Instagram at CVR World Cup. And Claudia also rides for a team, a Zwift team called Zwift Team Draft, and they are at Ride Draft. So you know how I'm totally into Zwift and indoor training, and this is a cool conversation about someone that's actually taking it one step further and making a pretty much a career out of it and winning some money. Claudia's also doing a lot of outdoor races, but really was getting her geared up for this weekend's race in Vancouver at the CVR World Cup. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Claudia. Please make sure you go follow her. Again, she's Claudia.Behring on Instagram because she's going to be racing this coming weekend at the CVR World Cup. So give her a follow, cheer her on, and let's see what the future holds for Claudia. So without further ado, Claudia Behring.
Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. How you doing?
I'm awesome.
Well, you got your cup of coffee, so you have to be awesome.
Yeah, it's the morning and I got my rocket fuel ready to take over the day.
Have you worked out yet?
Of course. No, this morning I did some little threshold interval things on Zwift.
Now, this is great. This is a great starter for our conversation. So you're in Texas, the weather's nice, but you're still riding.
Yeah, I ride on Zwift a lot. So much so that my friends are like, "Do you ever ride outside?" But yeah, Zwift, I live in Houston. It's a seriously, and some people may argue with me here, but it's really not a bike-friendly city. And logistically, where I live, I have to basically go through the most congested area to get anywhere in a car if I wanted to join a group ride. And it just doesn't make sense for me. It takes an extra hour out of my day that I could be, say, sleeping, eating, doing whatever. And I'd rather just like have my bike on the trainer, roll out of bed, hop on the trainer, and go.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's what I, yeah, that's the great, the easiest thing about Zwift or indoor trainer. It probably takes just as long to get ready for a bike ride than it does to actually do it versus just rolling out and getting it done.
Yeah, not only that, and the safety factor. I've seen people get hit by cars. I've had friends that have been seriously injured by being hit by cars while riding a bike. So there's that extra safety factor there too.
Yeah, I agree 100%, especially, I mean, anywhere, right? I mean, we were talking offline. I'm in Connecticut, and although there's some beautiful places out here, there's still a bunch of idiots in cars, and not my basement though. My basement's pretty safe.
Yeah, the worst thing you can have happen is fall off the trainer, and hopefully that doesn't right. happen.
Or the occasional big spider walking by.
Yeah. Or you could be like me and have like you're going to wipe off all the sweat you're doing while your threshold intervals and your Air Bud goes flying across the room, and I'm like, oh no. dismount.
Yeah, do I stop or do I keep going? So
yeah.
So your background cycling or is it triathlon based?
So triathlon based. I did my first triathlon in 2012, and I only bought a bike. Well, okay, let's go back to when I was in elementary. I had a little Huffy bike or whatever, or something with streamers on the handlebars. Sure, I was cyclist back then, but oh yeah. No, yeah, in 2012, I started just a couple months before I got my first bike, a road bike, and then went and did some mini sprint and then some sprint and then a half Ironman and then an Ironman. So I worked my way up and yeah, really noticed that cycling was my best of the three. I do pretty good in the other two, but cycling's definitely my favorite. So nowadays I ride a bike a lot more than I run and swim.
Now I was going through social just in our conversation, and somewhere it said 2012 when you first started you learned to swim. Did you literally learn how to swim back then also?
Yeah, learned. That's a joke. So I'm still learning. I think like swimming is always a learning process. No matter how great you are, you still have something that you could probably improve. That's like with anything though. But yeah, I just randomly signed up. It was in January. I was like, okay, these New Year's specials, I'm gonna join this gym membership. And then I just started showing up like three times a week and decided I was gonna be a swimmer. Luckily, I found this older guy that basically went to the pool at the same time as me. And he basically took pity on me because I was working very hard to get from one end to the other. And gave me some tips, and some of it was unsolicited. But eventually I got a coach and got a little better since then. But yeah, I kind of taught myself how to swim.
So you have no swimming background?
No, definitely not. Yeah, when you look at some of my initial race results, it's like she's like the third to last in the swim. And then she's like first on the bike and first on the run. They're like, who is this girl? She really needs to learn how to swim.
So what's your background? Is it cycling, running, or just athletics, or none of the above?
Honestly, none of the above. I mean, when I was growing up, I grew up in the middle of nowhere in Michigan. And we had a basketball hoop attached to our garage. And occasionally I would shoot hoops and like I had that little mountain bike and we'd go for like a half an hour ride in the country, or yeah, occasionally I jogged here and there, but yeah, I really didn't participate in much really serious anything. I didn't go to college for anything sports related. And yeah, during college, I didn't work out at all. And then after college, it was more like getting into a career and then just kind of saw like some people starting to run, and I started running eventually, and then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do a triathlon, and then it's all been downhill or uphill since then.
And okay, so you see January 2012 New Year's resolution sprint try, and then fast forward, let's see, 3 years, you're national champion USAT long course.
16? Yeah, 2016 I was. Okay. Yeah, on 2015 I was national champion. So basically the race to become national champion for long course, you do a 70.3, and I won my age group in that one, so that made me an age group national champion. I think I was third overall in that race. I can't really remember. And then I went and did the long course world champs, and it was exactly a year later. And that's an odd distance. It's like a 4K swim. And I think it was like it's like 75 miles. So I forgot how many Ks. And then 30K run. So it's a weird distance. And I won my age group there and was third overall amateur. So yeah, that was pretty awesome.
So how the hell do you go from learning to swim to age group national championships and world championships within 3 years? Was it all cycling and running with a little bit of swimming?
I wish I could tell you that it's just like a natural thing and that I was blessed to be fast and that, you know, it's just genetics. Sure, genetics maybe play like a certain amount, but honestly, I am determined. I grind the stone every single day and I very rarely ever miss workouts. So yes, I am very competitive and I obviously got somebody to help me with my swim and he watches at a master swim program. So I highly recommend master swim classes for triathletes because you actually swim with real swimmers and it challenges you on a different level. Mm-hmm. And then plus you have somebody standing poolside that's watching you and giving you little tips here or there. Hopefully, if it's a good one, most of the master swims are really good.
It's not your friend from the Y that felt pity on you. It's an actual real coach now.
Yeah, that's right. They're like, this girl can really bike and run, but her swim sucks. Well, let's help this girl out.
So you do all this and then, you know, and this is, you don't, I'm tooting your own horn, so you don't have to even say anything, but three-time Boston qualifier, three-time 70.3 world champion, world champ qualifier, excuse me, five-time Ironman finisher, Ironman PR 1050, 70.3 PR 442, an Olympic distance PR 215. Holy crap.
Yeah. Woohoo. And, you know, honestly, most of those PRs, when you look at the distance of most of these races, favor a strong cyclist and a decent runner, but definitely this. And guess which one's the best of my three and my next best. Yeah, so triathlon was definitely a good sport for me to get into.
So you're going through all this and you're doing you're doing well. Did you ever get your pro card?
No. And it was never really anything on my radar. I did have somebody when I was just like 2 weeks ago, they're like, you should go pro. And I'm like, that wasn't really anything I was trying to do for triathlon. So yeah, I would like to get more into cycling, and like if pro cycling became an option, that would be something I would consider. Nothing against triathlon, but I like cycling better.
Yeah, well, let's go down that path, because that was really how this whole conversation came about. Well, it came about two ways. So you're also a coach, and it's CBAR mm-hmm. Performance is your company, and mm-hmm. you coach one of my prior podcast guests, Libby Dykes, who's Iron Tika, and she just finished St. George 70.3, and we were talking, and she actually brought you up in our podcast conversation, and so I dug a little deeper. And I was like, wait, you just won some like Zwift national championship type thing. So that was like, look, as impressive as with your triathlon accolades, this whole Zwift thing is new to me. And, but just the fact that how hardcore it is, let's kind of just talk about that for a little while. So let's go back to when you kind of first found Zwift. Were you just, you know, you wanted to cycle more and just kind of found Zwift by accident, or was there more to it?
So yeah, there's two different ways I could go with this. So I could tell you how I got started in like cycling only races and how I got started in Zwift. But so I always have been, because of where I live, I've always spent so much time on the trainer, and I didn't know that Zwift existed any earlier than January 2017. And so I signed up, and I didn't know there was Zwift racing for the longest time. Actually, basically, I would just go in there and program in my workouts and then knock out my workouts on the trainer through my power meter in Zwift. And basically, yeah, I made it go by a little bit more faster. And I pretty much have stopped watching videos. I pretty much just watched myself race other people in Zwift. But through Zwift Academy, which I didn't win, I found that there was Zwift races. So I entered a couple of them. I was placed automatically in the A group, and it's been all uphill or downhill since then. So I joined this virtual racing league. It's called CVR, which is basically 8 weeks that they do. So they have different seasons. So they do 8 weeks of races, and you show up at the same time, and you race in different brackets. So because I was placed in the A bracket, that puts me in the elite bracket. And so I won my zone. So there's different time zones. There's eight different time zones. And if you win your A bracket, then you get invited to go to this World Cup league. And so at the end of March, they did a World Cup league in L.A., and it was inside a velodrome, so it was so weird. These people were asking me, where are you going? I'm going to the velodrome. Oh, yeah, you're going to do some laps around the track, for the rare people that actually knew about bicycles and, like, the track racing. And I'm like, actually, I'm going to be on a stationary trainer in the center of the velodrome. And they're like,
yeah, the only thing more boring than doing laps in a velodrome is sitting on a trainer inside a velodrome.
Well, you know, it wasn't that bad. It was definitely a different dynamic than sitting at home on my trainer and, like, racing, because there's people standing all over the place, and there was a bar, and people are like, go, 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 go. And I'm just like, okay, not used to this. Why are these people cheering for me at home on my trainer? No, I'm just kidding. But it was incredibly hot in there. It was like, and I live in Texas, so I usually don't keep my AC that high, and I feel like my room is a sweat box sometimes when I like get going on the trainer. But yeah, it was like 75-ish in there, which is pretty hot for most people. Yeah. But yeah, so that was a blast. It was a different format. So each week you do like a race that's around like 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes long, and you're doing it at home and you're logging in. You know, you're using either a smart trainer or a power meter to measure your power, and you have to wear a heart rate monitor to make sure that you're a real person, not a robot. and then basically, yeah, you go to this live event, and it was three different stages. Well, okay, back up. There was a semifinals heat that you had to do first, and basically the top four of the semifinals heat made it to an elite bracket, and then the bottom ones made it to the performance bracket. So each person that participated actually won money, and basically covers the cost of your travel. And basically I was leading for most of it, and then I got outsprinted in the last stage. So the first stage is a hill climb, which is funny. I don't live anywhere with hills, and I won the hill climb. And then the next one was a road race, and I got third. I was outsprinted. Darn triathlon needs to work on our sprint. And the last one, I was outsprinted. It was a crit race, and I ended up getting second. And by getting second, I actually won more money than, like, most female pros do on major circuit races. So, yeah, I actually can say, based on the rules for CVR, the league that's in the name of it, I can actually say that I'm a professional Zwift racer.
So CVR, are they affiliated with Zwift, or they just put on the event?
Ah, they just put on the event. So, you know, they don't really not work together, sure, but they don't really work together.
And yeah. And is that the major circuit for Zwift as far as racing is concerned?
Yeah, so if you look on Zwift under the app or just online, there's races like every single minute, almost, it seems like, at least every hour. So there's a lot of different leagues or teams out there in Zwift that are doing races. And so there's a lot of big names out there, but this one's the biggest. This is the only one that you can do where you're winning money right now. The other ones, you're just like winning, like, hey, I won, you know, like just the bragging rights. So that's the difference between this and, I guess, all the other races out there.
And so is this something that you're focused on right now?
Yeah, actually, we're in the Spring League. And I am racing at 7 a.m. Central Time. That's the time of my zone. And it is this next Tuesday will be week number 7. And you basically, the winner is the best 6 of 8. And so I have won five of the five races that I've done. I had to take
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had to take a week off to go run a marathon, or after my marathon to recover. I went and did Big Sur.
That's right, you did, yes.
But yeah, if I win next week, then that means I for sure am going back again.
Holy cr- so then you do these races in anywhere. So you're in, at your house in Texas doing it. But then if you win, for the championship is all held in the same location?
Yeah, yeah. So basically this next one's in Vancouver. It's in a velodrome again. Hopefully this one's cooler. We're going to, yeah, basically everybody weighs in. You get your height measured. So it's no weight doping or anything like that, because that is a legitimate concern with people on Zwift.
Oh, and I know. And gender doping too is the other one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. There's a couple people that are people think they're guys and that are racing as girls.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to worry about that. I don't care. I'm just going to try to beat whoever they are, guy or girl.
Sure, yeah.
But, yeah, everybody weighs in and everything like that. And we're all in the same calibrated equipment. So it's not like somebody has a better power meter or, you know, can, like, tweak that a little bit. So, yeah, it's a very legit setup for Zwift, I would say. But, you know, there's – yeah. There's, it's just different having people standing next to you, like cheering you on and all that.
So I have two questions. So you get to bring, but you get to bring your own bike.
Oh yeah. You can rent one too. Some people actually from like another country rented a bike and then put it on a trainer, but yeah, I definitely am bringing my own bike.
Okay. And then these are all, but you're not racing with a team. It's a solo performance.
Uh-huh. So you say that, but actually there's like all these different teams in Zwift. And so I am hoping that one of my teammates, so I'm on team, my name and my team is Draft.
I saw that. Okay. Yep.
And there's another girl that looks like she's going to win her zone. So there could be team play. So basically there was team play in the last one. There was four people. And then I'm one team, and the girl that won, she was on that team. So there's that. So definitely teamwork can play a difference in the dynamics of the race, in any race, actually. There is teamwork, just like in normal cycling, road racing. There's certain tactics that they try to deploy in Zwift. Now, I have my own personal opinions on the drafting effect, because I don't know if you've ever, have you ever raced in Zwift before?
So I train on Zwift. I've never done a race, but I've done some group rides and have kind of not really dealt with the draft, but it's kind of screwy, but I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah. So the draft effects, basically a solo breakaway is really hard. You have to time it very, very well. I feel like it's easier to do solo breakaways in real life. I've had a few of them. And that's my preference and my winning style. Anybody that watches any of my races, which all this stuff is streamed live, so you, or recorded, so you can definitely see awesome. How most people race. And it's kind of funny because they also stream people at home with like me and my sports bra, or like a dude in his bibs, stuff like that. So it's definitely different. But yeah, it feels like basically when you try to do a solo breakaway and you have 5 seconds up the road, the group behind you in a blob, like the normal peloton, seems to have almost a more unfair advantage of catching back up to the solo breakaway. So you really have to lay down serious watts to breakaway and stay away.
Huh. Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, going back, the reason why I asked about the team thing, so when I saw the Zwift, they did a world championship, maybe a country championship a couple of months ago. And I'm probably saying this wrong, but there was actual teams where there was a people like on the same team in a room riding, and they had a race director. And there were some team tactics.
Yeah.
But
that's
but
probably my
that.
Team that you're talking about. And you're talking about the USA national championship probably. Yeah, that's there.
Yeah, it was like watching a stage race. I mean, there was, you know, headsets and microphones, and there was tactics, and but then fast forward to your race, that doesn't seem right. So in other words, unless a teammate of yours wins their division, then you're not going to have any teammates out there.
Right. Yeah. So basically, I want my teammate to win. So we can work together, of course.
Yeah, but if you don't have any teammates out there, there might be an unfair advantage.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. I mean, may the strongest person win.
Yeah, no, I know. I get it, and I'm not. I just think it's really interesting that the how much goes into this, right? It's just pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what is your, you know, so knowing all this, what do you do? Like, what do you do differently training wise? Or do you, you know, what is your strategies? What are you thinking when you're out there?
Well, you know, road racing versus Zwift racing is really different. I don't care what anybody says, but yeah, riding outside, you have basically in Zwift racing, you can go through people. You can't go through people in real life. And plus you have like the lane laws. So basically you're supposed to stay in one lane of traffic. You can't go over the center lane to pass people. So you definitely get blocked a lot more in real life. And positioning makes one hell of more of a difference in real life than it does in Zwift. However, there's certain things that are similar. So like if you want to, you know, possibly break away from people or you want to make them hurt, then you go really hard on the hills, just like you would in real life. And you attack on the hills because that's where you can make the most time up on other people. So there's definitely similarities as far as like how I train. Well, now I've started cycling pretty much only and taking away the swimming and running now that I finished that marathon.
But, yeah, except for the marathon you threw in there.
Yeah, which I qualified for Boston again, and that is nice. A very hard marathon to try that at. But I would like to credit my cycling training for that anyway. Sure. Anyway, so yeah, most of Zwift races are like 45 minutes to an hour. You really don't find too many that are longer than that. And if you're really a good time trialist with a lot of matches to burn, so you can change here and there and then a good sprint at the end, you'll do really good at Zwift racing. Because you don't get to, in real life, you get to coast and, you know, you right. occasionally hit your brakes. You don't hit your brakes on a Zwift race, you're in the trainer. So that's definitely the biggest difference, I would say, as far as training for them. Nah, I'm going to train the same for pretty much indoor, outdoor, except for maybe I don't have to do the longest long rides, but I do race outside. I've been doing this crit race series that, so basically last year was my first year racing outside, my first year racing in Zwift towards the end of the year. So I'm really just new to this whole cycling thing. And so I've been trying to gain a lot of experience, and basically I catted up from a 5 to a 3 and I'm almost a 2 if I wanted to be, but I'm trying to sit at the 3s to get more experience and learn tactics and such. But yeah, there's a lot to learn with cycling. It's not just you go out and you ride a bike. There's a lot more than that that goes into it, a lot more than I thought like initially. So being a triathlete, you're used to being like steady state power and stay in your own little bubble. And it's definitely polar opposite when it comes to cycling racing, which I did really good. And I have the numbers and I'm strong enough. Obviously, if I can pull it off on the trainer, I can definitely do it outside. It's just a know-how, inexperience that I'm definitely gaining. So basically, I have the engine. I just am working on the mind part.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. So my whole background is triathlon. So I've been in the triathlon bubble, and just a couple of years ago started watching stage races, and they're so interesting to me that I'm just totally addicted to watching. I watch all the spring classics. Now I'm watching the Giro that's happening right now, mm-hmm. only because of the tactics. Like, it's one thing to watch somebody throw down, you know, whatever, 400, 500, 600 watts, which is cool. But to watch the tactics that goes into it is just so amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And stage races are fun. Unfortunately, in Texas, there's only a limited amount of races. There's more here than there is a lot of other states. So I don't want to say that that's bad. But in Houston, there's a limited amount. So basically, I have to drive 3 hours to get to any decent races. And there was one stage race that I did, and it was so close. I just barely got second, but it was so much fun because it's a time trial, and then you do a crit, and then you do a road race. And I'm like pretty equal in all three. Obviously, I'm a decent time trialist, and my sprint's getting better. I just sprint better in real life than I do on the trainer. And then hilly road races are great for me because apparently I'm okay at hills too. So yeah, it's really fun. It's good, like, dynamics. And yeah, there's a lot more tactics than you probably think initially.
Yeah, you brought up a point I wanted to ask you. Is there an advantage to riding a time trial bike in the Zwift events?
So an actual, like, triathlon? No, there isn't. Actually, yeah. you don't want to be on a TT bike because, if you sit in the aero bars, your positioning is different. So there's no aero of, well, okay. In the game, if you select an aero, like a TT bike, then yep. You are more aero than a lot of other bikes that basically are standard with Zwift. However, on a TT bike in Zwift in a race, you can't draft off of anybody. So I would not recommend doing a TT bike in the game. And then in real life on a TT bike, positioning is different. Definitely not needing to be that aero when you're on
the trail. Right, because you don't need the wind aerodynamics.
No, so breathing wise you're probably going to be sitting in your hoods the whole entire time because you're going to be gasping for air because Zwift races are hard. But yeah, no, you definitely want, so you want the dream bike, right? The Tron bike. So you got to go climb Everest what is it, 5 times? And I'm a level 25. I got my level 25 before I got the Tron bike because I didn't know it existed. And so it's this super fast bike that's been tested. And there's all these blogs and stuff out there. So people can get really into this Zwift racing. I mean, I'm into it because I'm trying to win money at it. So it makes sense for me to read up all this stuff. But yeah, there's been actual tests and like comparisons of what's the lightest and the fastest and the best bike to have in Zwift, and this Tron bike with the glowing wheels is typically the best one.
So when you go to race in these events, everybody is on a different bike in Zwift.
Yeah, pretty much everybody's on that Tron bike because...
Yeah, because they all go for it, right?
Yeah, unless they're not, like, they're newer in Zwift and they don't, you know, have that super fast bike yet.
Okay. And what, can you switch bikes for each event on Zwift at the CVR?
You can. I didn't because, I mean, the Tron bike's pretty much the best. There is one that, so with this new Alpe du Zwift, there's a new lightweight set, not lightweight wheels that I haven't unlocked yet. I got the helmet and the gloves. But yeah, there's a new set of wheels when paired with, I forgot which bike it was. I think it was one of the Treks. So it's the lightest bike and supposedly the best one. So maybe for the hill climb, maybe I'd consider changing that. But honestly, the Tron bike is like a couple seconds off. So just go with the same thing just to keep it easier, less stress.
That's awesome. This is such a cool conversation about Zwift, and it's funny. And you said it before. So you personally think you can win, make more money on Zwift racing than outside racing?
Ha! You know, that's a joke. I went and got third place at this crit the other day. I got first the first week and then third this last week. The first week getting first, I won $20. $20 to register. And then this last week, it cost me $20 to register and I won $5 and a t-shirt. So this other CVR race, I won $2,600. So
holy crap.
Yeah, one pays a lot more than the other. And I mean, I'm riding my trainer all the time anyways. I invested in this trainer forever ago and it's well paid for itself. And yeah, it's very, no gas money, no headache. It's just roll out of bed and go.
That's awesome. This is cool. So thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I enjoy it. If nobody else enjoys it, I'm enjoying it. So, but I know a lot of my listeners and followers are big into Zwift, and I actually had Jordan Rapp as one of my guests.
Yeah.
A while ago, and it's like, you know, a bunch of kids talking about video games. It's just so awesome. It's so much fun.
It is. Like there's this whole streaming service that people basically can watch it on, and there's like thousands of people that have watched these races on it, so there's definitely people that are interested in it.
Well, and I also think it's interesting that there's money being thrown at it too. So it's not just this, you know, a bunch of idiots in their basement doing it. It's actual real money and real sponsors behind it.
Yeah, there are real sponsors, and definitely good sponsors behind the race. So yeah, it's definitely a growing trend, I think.
But it's weird also because if you look at pro cyclists, you know, they've never ridden on trainers, right? It was always, you're going out and you're doing all your miles outside 6-7 days a week, doesn't matter, raining, snowing, sleeting. But now a lot more, to your point, are doing it indoors, you know, triathletes and also cyclists.
Yeah, it's a good way to keep your easy days really easy. If you have an easy day, it's harder to do that in a group ride because you want to stay with the group. And mm-hmm. You do let the competitive, if you're a professional cyclist, you're very competitive. So it's really hard to turn that off, even though it's supposed to be an easy day. So if you're on Zwift and you're just kind of chilling by yourself, well then, you know, who cares?
Yeah, totally. All right, Claudia, as we wrap this up, I want to allow you to give a plug for CBAR?
So CBAR Performance.
CBAR. Sorry. See, I should have asked you at the beginning. I got your last name right, but I can't get your freaking company right.
No worries. It throws people for a loop. So what it stands for is completely badass racing performance. And so, yeah, I think you appreciate that. But yeah, I'm mainly focused in triathlon coaching, kind of ventured out and helped some cyclists and some runners as well. Obviously swimming is not my forte, as I said earlier, but I've helped some people do their first half Ironmans. I had one guy take off over an hour in 6 months from his initial first one. So that's definitely awesome. And then like Libby had a PR just this,
yep.
A couple days ago, and she was doing her Ironman race pace instead of half Ironman race pace. So she's definitely seen a lot of improvements, and then she's going to go do her first Ironman. That's so exciting. And yeah, I have a new girl I'm working with doing her first half. So yeah. And then I have somebody training to try to qualify for Kona. So I got, and an Ultraman. So yeah, there's a lot different athletes that I work with, and it's fun. Not everybody's out there to try to win everything either.
Cool. And how to, what's the website for CBAR Performance?
CBARPerformance.com.
Perfect. So, you know, I asked that question and people are like, well, it was already taken. So it's,
keep it simple.
Nice. Do you do Zwift coaching?
You know, I should. That would
right?
be a good way. It's very simple. I mean, honestly, it's pretty much like cycling coaching could be just basically in Training Peaks. That's what I work with. And basically you build all your workouts in there and then you can just download them into Zwift. So yeah, pretty much the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think more of the tactical side of the racing.
Yeah. Like no, it, there's a lot more than just like basically people don't know. The Zwift races start off really fast, so you actually have to do some training in your warm-up as well to get used to that. So yeah, there is actually a lot to learn, that knowledge I could give out.
There you go.
Yeah,
you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Claudia Behring, you are on Instagram at claudia.behring, and cbarperformance.com is your company, and I truly appreciate you coming on my show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This has been great.
It's always fun to talk about yourself and talk about what we love, so thank you so much.
Awesome.
All right, Claudia, have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, there you have it, my conversation with Claudia Behring. She is just a totally cool chick, and I'm really glad that Libby introduced me to her. And looking forward to seeing Claudia kick some ass this weekend at the CVR World Cup in Vancouver. So again, give Claudia a follow, claudia.behring on Instagram. Follow her team, which is at Ride Draft, and then go follow at CVR World Cup. And of course, go follow at Go Zwift, because all of those intertwine together into one virtual reality world of indoor cycling. All right, That's all I have for you today. Just want to thank everybody who's listening, who's sharing, who's giving me the 5 stars, and who continues to follow me on Instagram and give me some cool comments. This is really a fun journey. I've been putting a lot more stuff out there on Strava, so be sure to follow me over on Strava. And also want to give a huge shout out, as always, to Zane's Cycles for supporting my pod and my triathlon career, my triathlon season. You can find them at Zane's Cycles on Instagram or zanes.com. All right, everybody, until next time, talk soon.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.